What we're going to do today is we're going to conclude, and everybody said, finally, we're going to conclude our series we're calling Happy, Happy, Happy. So let's all just say that together with a smile. Sometimes you got to fake it until you make it, okay? Everybody just say that same word three times. Happy, 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 okay? What we've been doing in this series is we've been taking a look at the Beatitudes, which are found in the very, very beginning of Matthew chapter 5. You say, what are the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are eight different qualities, eight different characteristics. And what they do is they describe how we as followers of Jesus are to live. If you want to know what a life of the believer should look like, a great place to start is begin to read the Beatitudes. And we learned week one that the place to start is by placing God at the center of your life. That's the most important thing. Saying, God, come and be at the center of my life. Allow me to put no other thing at the center, but you be at the center. That's the whole start of this journey of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And here's the thing, in these verses, Jesus is saying, hey, if you live this way, the promise is you're going to be what? Blessed. And that word blessed has been translated happy. But what we've been wanting you to understand is that word happy is not the happiness that the world refers to. It's not a happiness that's dependent on the external circumstances of life, meaning I'm happy if everybody's been nice to me today, or I'm happy if I have all my leaves raked up. By the way, are you there yet? All your leaves, so you're happy, or I'm happy because the Steelers are going to beat the Browns today. How many people say I could care less about that? Well, I care, okay? But anyway, that's not going to be my happiness. But our happiness that Jesus is talking about here is this inner joy. It's a deep, deep down contentment, a peace that comes from God. He's the source of our happiness, meaning regardless of what's going on around me, good or bad, I can still be happy. I can still be content. I can still have peace. I can still have joy because God is at the center of my life. By the way, I've been saying, if you're going to base your happiness upon the externals of life, it's going to be like a roller coaster ride. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If things are good, I'm going to be up here, sky high. If things aren't, I'm down in the valley. And man, that's not the way God wants us to live, okay? He wants us to have a peace, a joy, a contentment, no matter what's going on in our life, because He is the source. And here's the thing about God. He doesn't change. He's what? The same, everybody together, yesterday, today, and forever. That's our God. He's pretty amazing, isn't He? And everybody said, you betcha, okay? So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the eighth and final beatitude. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Hopefully you have brought your Bibles. If not, there's a Bible right in front of you. Good news, I have my Bible this morning. That's always good. And the words will be on the screen above me. So I want to begin by just reading this verse one time through. And then the second time, listen carefully, the second time, everybody will join together, okay? Jesus says these words, the final beatitude, Matthew 5:10, he says, God blesses, or happy are those who are persecuted for doing right. Here's the promise, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Can we all read that together? I love hearing God's people read his word. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Have you noticed something about these Beatitudes? It's an upside-down kingdom. It's totally the opposite of the way of the world is the way of the kingdom. And this is a very, very powerful verse. It's a verse that's very relevant, very, very relevant to where we live today. So what I'm going to do to help us all have a better understanding of what this verse means, what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to proceed today. I'm going to ask four questions. And then I'm going to do my best to answer those questions so that we arrive on at this goal that at the end of the service, we know more clearly what this verse means, okay? So are you with me? Say, you betcha, okay? Okay, that's great. Number one, question one, I think it's the obvious question. We need to make sure we're all on the same page together, reading off the same book, and that is, what is persecution? What is persecution? Question one. Did a lot of reading research this week, and basically this is the definition of persecution that I liked the most as I was studying, and it's on the screen. Someone wrote that persecution is aggressive and injurious behavior carried out in a hostile, antagonistic spirit. normally by a group, but also by one individual towards another individual. Let me read that again. Persecution is aggressive and injurious behavior carried out in a hostile, antagonistic spirit, normally by a group of people, or it could be by one individual towards another. So what I want us to see in that definition is that persecution can come from a group of people, or it can be carried out by an individual. So I want you to participate this morning in the message, and I'm not asking you to speak out loud. I'm asking you to please use your mind that God has given you. And the first question I want to ask you today is this. Is there a group of people that you can think of today that is carrying out persecution in the world that we live in today? If you've been watching the news at all in the last several weeks, months, you know there's a very strong group of people that is carrying out persecution. And that group we could call ISIS. Has anybody heard of that group before? ISIS is a group that is, they're very hostile. I mean, they're very antagonistic. And I was reading, Friday evening, I was reading an article about ISIS. And one of the leaders shared this quote, and it's on the screen. He said this, and we can put it up there. He said this, "We will not stop hunting Christians and burning churches." And here's the reason why. Christians are Allah's enemies. So there's a real group of people that are very aggressive, very militant, and their goal is to hunt down Christians, to burn down churches, because they feel like we're the enemies of Allah. That's the real world that we live in today. You may not see it right here in River Falls, but I want to let you know it's happening. And let's not bury our heads in the sand, but this is the reality of the year 2015. This is happening. So that would certainly be a group of people who are persecuting, but there's also individuals. There's individuals who love to persecute, who love to be antagonistic and cause harm and cause injury. I'm not going to share very many details at all because I don't feel like I have the liberty to do this because it's not my business, but there's a individual right here in River Falls. And she has actually made it her agenda that we have a faith-based club on campus. And she would love nothing more to see that faith-based club closed down and dismantled. And it's very real. It's very relevant to right where we're at today. They were meeting this week with our school board to see if this lady would win out. That's persecution. It's happening at a national level. It's happening right here in River Falls. It might be happening to some people sitting in this very, very room, okay? And I want to let you know that persecution is often directed towards those who have this desire to live for God. Persecution is often directed towards people who say prayers like this, "God, not what I want, not my will, but your will." People who pray, "God, I want your agenda to be carried out in my life and in the world." Those are the people who are persecuted. And there's a verse, and I believe it's, let me see where that's at, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says this, and it's on the screen. He's Paul writing to a young pastor, Timothy, says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus," and here's the promise, "all will be" what? "Persecuted." So persecution, if you desire to live a life for Christ Jesus, there's going to be different forms of persecution. And as I just mentioned, persecution is going to come in several different forms. Let me just share a few with you. There may be beating. There may be stoning. We read about that in the book of Acts. It was very clear that these things were happening. Actually, the first martyr, who was the first martyr? Stephen. How did he die? They lined up and they picked up rocks and they stoned him because of his faith in Christ. But there also is different forms of persecution. Maybe mocking, you may be mocked. Insults, you may be insulted because of your stance. There may be slander. There may be somebody tries to intimidate and throw out threats. That's kind of what this lady's doing in River Falls. She's trying to intimidate and throw out threats. There may be even imprisonment. I really believe that before I go to heaven one day, that I believe there'll be pastors in America that will be imprisoned because of their stance for God's word. That's just my conviction. But then there's also one form of persecution, maybe death. Death. I was reading about persecution. You can Google this stuff, and it's amazing what comes up. And I learned that this week, an average of at least 180 Christians around the world are killed every month because of their faith in Christ. That's more people that are here in church this morning. 180 people die every month. They're killed because of one reason. It's because they have a faith and they pronounce Christ as Savior and the Lord of their lives, leading to death. A couple months ago, we got the email from our national office, pray for these young people over in areas of the country like Iraq. ISIS was coming to people's doors. And kids would come, and what they would do is they would ask these kids to pronounce their faith in Christ. And if they did not pronounce their faith in Christ, they were killing those kids right in front of their parents. You say, come on, is that really happening? Yeah, it's really happening. People are being persecuted. Why? Because of their faith, because they're saying, yeah, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Yeah, Lord, I want what you want. I want your agenda. I want to live for you. I want your priorities, your values. And there's people actually that are today, and we're going to pray for these people at the end of the service, by the way, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to pray for them today that God will watch out over them and keep them. But that's the deal. Persecution is this aggressive and injurious behavior that's carried out with hostility and an antagonistic spirit. That was question one. What is persecution? Number two, in the beatitude that we're looking at this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, I want you to notice this. Who are those who are blessed? Who are those that are blessed that Jesus mentions? You would say, well, it's those who are persecuted. Well, stop a minute. There's some people that are going to be persecuted for doing the wrong thing. There's going to be some people who are persecuted for causing trouble. That's not who Jesus is talking about here. The verse says, blessed are those who are persecuted for what? Doing right. Not causing problems and not trying to just stir up evil, but the people who are blessed are going to be those who are persecuted for doing right. So a sub-question under this question is simply this, what is right? Think about that. What is right? And here's the deal. This question is becoming more and more difficult to answer in today's culture. Because in today's culture, truth is what? It's relative. That word relative means that truth is open to my interpretation, your interpretation. If it's true for me, then it's true for everyone. That's kind of the way it is. Truth has become relevant. If I believe it, it's truth. But I want to let you know what's happening in our country is what is called absolute truth is quickly passing us by. Have you noticed that? Absolute truth is quickly passing us by. And I just want to say this as a church, as believers, regardless of what the culture around us is saying or the message they're trying to send to us, I want to let you know there's still a source of absolute truth. Come on. There's still a source of absolute truth. And if you have a Bible in front of you, touch God's words, that's the source of truth. How many people know God's word is the source of absolute truth? And it doesn't change. Some people say, well, is it really for today? I want to let you know, yes, God's word is for today. A great verse, 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture, everybody say that first word together, all. No, God, just the parts that I make me feel comfortable and the parts I like. No, it says what? All. All scripture is inspired by who? Did God use men to write the Bible? Absolutely. There's 40 different authors that God used to write the scripture. But they didn't write these things on their own. They were what? Inspired by God. God led these men, women, what to write. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Everybody say that word, true. And makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. I know some people don't like that. Oh, don't tell me what's wrong. God's word will show us the truth. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Okay? So this verse clearly states that God's word, there is absolute truth. Absolute truth. It teaches us to do what's right. Can I speak to you as a shepherd, as a pastor? And that is this. Folks, let's make sure we are Bible-believing Christians. Let's make sure we're not allowing the world to dictate what is truth and what's not. But let's make sure that our source of truth is always what? The Word of God. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. Regardless of what the culture, and it's even sneaking into churches. Yes, it's even sneaking into churches. And we need to make sure that we're Bible-believing believers, Christians, who are reading our Word. And we're spending time in the Word. And we're allowing the Word to tell us what the absolute truth is, because there's a lot of gray coming in the world. There's a lot of gray where there used to be black and white. And folks, I just want to encourage you, not because I want to be legalistic. I don't like legalism. I don't believe that's what God wants, but I want people to be set free. And what does Jesus say? One of the ways you'll be set free is what? The truth. You think, well, the truth is going to oppress me. No, totally the opposite. The truth is going to what? It's going to set you free. And that's what God wants for us, is He wants us to be set free, okay? So those who are blessed are those who are going to be persecuted for doing what's right. These are the people who are living according to God's word. They're saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. These are the people that are swimming against the current of our culture. The current of culture is going one way, but these are the people that are swimming against the current. They're standing for the truth, and they're saying, God, help me. I want to live for you, okay? So those who are blessed are persecuted for doing what are persecuted. Those who are going to be blessed are those who are going to be doing what? What is right. Question three. This is the one I've been pulling my hair out all week, thinking, God, I want to answer this question so clearly. And I had just a rough Friday and Saturday just saying, God, I want to make sure that we're getting this word out clearly. And that is, why are those people who do what's right, why in the world are those people persecuted? Think about it. You would think that people around the world would just line up and applaud and give high fives to those people who are trying to do the right thing. You think they would be received. They would be like, wow, look at you. You're trying to do what God wants you to do. You're trying to do God's will, carry out His agenda. But as many of us are well aware of this morning, that's not the case. Is that true? It's not the case. It's just the opposite. Instead of applause, what we're finding is we're finding people being persecuted because they're doing the right thing. That persecution may be beating, stoning, mocking, insult, slander, intimidation, threats, imprisonment. That we're finding just the opposite. Behavior directed towards those who are saying, God, I'm going to do what's right as you define what's right. So why is that happening? I want you to think to yourself this morning, why is that happening? Why are people being persecuted for doing the right thing? I want to give you about 10 seconds of silence. I want you to really think, why do you think that's happening? God, why? These people are doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing. I want to do the right thing according to what you... Why is there persecution? What's going on in this world? Why, God? What's going on in this world we live in? Why is this happening? I'm going to try to state this as very clearly and as simple as I can. The reason why is because there's a battle. There's a battle going on. And it's a battle that's spiritual in nature. Is everybody listening here? There's a real battle that's a spiritual battle. It's a battle between what's good and evil. It's a battle between what's right and what's wrong. It's a battle between darkness and light. There's a battle between what's the truth and a lie. There's a battle that's going on. And it's a battle that we don't see with our eyes. We see the results of it with our eyes. But the bigger issue is there's this unseen battle going on. And I know some people sitting there like, come on, Mike. I mean, really, is there real? Yes, really there is a battle, a spiritual battle. And in the battle, there's two primary opponents. Opponent number one is God. When I say God, I'm talking about the God that created the heavens and the earth. I'm talking about the God, the psalm says, he sits on the throne of heaven and earth is his footstool. He's the God who's all powerful. He's the one who loves us. And his opposition is who? Well, we don't even like to say that in church. Did you hear us whisper? Satan. Okay? Listen to this, Satan. I don't know if you're aware of this, but your Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. You can look for it yourself. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says this. Satan is the God, the small g. He's the God of where? This world. So there's two opposing forces, God and Satan. And here's what I want you to see here. How does God work? How does he carry out his agenda in this world? He carries it out by who? Through people. People all over the world today are carrying out the will of God. They're carrying out the agenda of God. Why? Because God has chosen from the very beginning of time to work through people, not to be independent, but to work through people. That's how we accomplish the work of God. People are they're out there doing their thing. They're living their life. They're doing his agenda. They're carrying out his will. They're standing for his values and his priorities. It's happening all over. You guys are doing that. It's wonderful. But I want to let you know that that's also how the enemy works. Say what? Yeah. The enemy works through people. I'd love to ask this question, you to be honest. Do you believe that? The power of the enemy, he has power to influence people to carry out his agenda, which, by the way, his agenda is very clear to us in Scripture. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. We're seeing that. We saw that with such evidence this last Friday in our world. We saw that in Paris this last Friday. We're seeing it all over the world. The enemy is carrying out his agenda through people. And these people are doing the persecuting. They're opposing God's agenda. This is what I want you to hear in this point. You need to remember something. Because you can get this attitude that I hate those people. But there's something that I want you to remember. And it's on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul is talking about spiritual battle. Paul writes these words to the church, to believers in Ephesus. He says, hey, remember, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. What he's saying is we're not really fighting. It's not, the biggest fight is not against other people. But we're fighting against who? Evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. What's going on? Why are people wanting to do God's will persecuted? Because there's an enemy that's fighting against us. It's fighting against the agenda of God, the will of God. There's a real enemy. And instead of looking at that person that's bringing the persecution, what we need to realize is, you know what? We're not fighting against them so much. We're fighting against the spirit that's at work in their lives. Am I making that clear? We're fighting against the spirit that's influencing their lives. So how are we to fight against those people? Well, if you read the rest of Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about you're to put on the armor. You're to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Then we get offensive with our weaponry. We take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And then we do what? Pray. Remember last week, Jesus said, "Who do what? Pray for those who what? Persecute you." What I'm trying to get at today, there's people after us because we're standing for righteousness. And there's a war being waged. It's real. It's intense. It's growing. But I think one of the greatest stances the believer can take is to fight that war, not with our words, but with the sword of the Spirit, His Word, and to be people of prayer, to be people of prayer, praying for those people who are coming against us. See, I can get mad at this lady in River Falls and say, what is wrong with that lady? In the flesh, I just want to tell her off, quit bugging us. Why? What's your problem? But I don't think that's going to do a lot of good. What's the greatest thing I can do? Get on my knees and say, Lord, soften her heart. Holy Spirit, reveal your Son Jesus to her. And folks, this is real. This is going to be the way it is. There's going to be opposition. When you say yes to Jesus and you're all in, I'm talking all in, nesty plunge all in, you're going to be persecuted. But you know what? The way of the believer is to pray, to stand in the Word, to put on this armor of God so we can stand firm. Amen? Question 4. Is everybody ready to go home? Are you enjoying yourself this morning? Yeah, I'm sure you're enjoying talking about persecution, okay? We'll talk about love next week just to make it balance it out, okay? But anyway, how should followers of Jesus respond to persecution? How should we respond to the attacks over there? How should we respond to the attacks in our individual lives or locally? This is the application. Because there's really two ways that we can choose to attack. We can choose to be fearful. We can choose, well, I'm going to compromise. If compromise is going to be more comfortable, then I'll compromise. You can curse, get ugly. You can retaliate. But I want to let you know that if you choose that way to respond, what you're going to do is you're going to destroy the witness of God. You're going to destroy the testimony. You're going to destroy your own character. So then what should be our response? Do you still have your Bible open, by the way? Matthew 5, verse 12 is the answer. Matthew 5, 12 is the answer. Jesus said, hey, if you're persecuted, he says these words. Don't look at it because I want you to hear me right now. This is Jesus, God, man, all in one. This is how Jesus says you're to respond to those who persecute you. Come on, Jesus. Rejoice and be glad. Woo! Persecution came my way this week, and you know what I did? I rejoiced, and I was so glad. By the way, how many people, that's your natural response to persecution? If you raise your hand, the altar will be open for life, okay? But anyway, rejoice and be glad. That word be glad is it refers to this deep spiritual joy that isn't changed by the circumstances of life. It's just the way it is in your life. Okay? So we are to rejoice and be glad. And then Jesus gives the reason you can do that. Jesus tells us why we can do that. He says, because great is your reward on earth. Is that what he says? No, he says you can respond, rejoice, and be glad because here's the deal. Great is your reward in heaven. It's not going to be here on earth. Great is your reward in heaven. So here's the assurance that heaven is this hundredfold compensation for every pain we go through. Lord, yes, I can rejoice. I can be glad because you know what? One day there's going to be a great reward. I'm doing your will. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm carrying out your values. I'm doing your work. People are coming against me. But you know what? I can rejoice and be glad because there's a day coming when I'm going to great is my reward going to be where? In heaven. In heaven. How many people know heaven's going to be an amazing place? Wow, that's impressive. Heaven's going to be an amazing place. Amen? Look at what Paul says about heaven in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who, what? Love Him. Folks, if you think this is good, and there's a lot of good things happening, there's a lot of wonderful things about earth, but I tell you what, it all fails in comparison that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive or imagine what God has prepared for those, that place he has prepared for those who love him. When we get there, all those things we went through that through here, we'll say, I think we're going to say, it was nothing. God, I'm with you for eternity. I'm in your presence. Wow. Those things I went through for you, Lord, wow. I'm glad I got to do it. I'm glad now I'm in this great cloud of witnesses, other people who have made these steps and paid the price. Amen? So, I hope today, now that you have a, now you have a better understanding of this verse, and it's on the screen, and I want us to read it all together one more time. Let's read it together. God blesses those who are persecuted for what? Doing right. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. I would just want to encourage you this week. My challenge to you this week is say, God, I want to do what's right. I want to stand in your word. I want to stand in your truth, the absolute truth. God, give me the courage. Give me the strength. God, this week I want to give, I want to sell out all to you, God. I want to stand for the truth. I want to do what's right. And God, when people come against me, I pray, God, that you'll give me the strength, that you'll be with me. You'll walk through me. Give me the grace. Give me the strength that I'll need to stand for you. Because this is how God's carrying out his will. He's carrying it out through you, through people. Amen.